proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Osterman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible program. We begin a series today about angels in the Bible. Many people regard angels as a figment of a person's imagination. However, the Bible definitely taught that angels do exist. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament contained accounts about how angels interacted with God and with people. Nonetheless, people remain confused about angels, what they look like, and what they do. In the first chapter of Hebrews, the author of that book described angels as, quote, ministering spirits, unquote, a description that depicted both the nature and the function of angelic beings. First and foremost, angels are spirits. That means that by nature they don't possess tangible bodies, such as human beings do. Angels, granted, do appear to men and women in the Bible as human beings in human forms. As a general rule, though, spirits do not have corporeal essences or bodies. The primary assignment of angels was serving God. In Psalm 103, for example, the writer mentioned how God's angels, quote, do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, unquote. This brings up a question of guardian angels. Do individuals have a specific guardian angel, a heavenly entity watching over them? Though the Bible does not explicitly teach that such is the case, several passages do imply that this kind of arrangement might exist. Take the 18th chapter of Matthew, for instance. Jesus Christ told his disciples to, quote, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, unquote. The Lord's words implied that while angels apparently watch out for the well-being of children, no child has a designated specific guardian angel for himself or herself. Nor did the reference to Peter's angel, found in Acts chapter 12, suggest that God assigns certain angels to God's individual certain believers. Angels were renowned for possessing wisdom. On two occasions, 2 Samuel chapter 14 and 2 Samuel chapter 19. On two occasions, a person compared King David to, quote, an angel of God, unquote. This reference occurred in connection with David's perceived understanding and discretion. Angels did not engage in activities that were common to human societies. Jesus Christ declared that angels did not get married, as recorded in Mark 12. He added in Luke chapter 20 that angels did not die. Despite the reference to manna as angels' food, a reference contained in Psalm 78, angels do not need to eat or drink. Whenever people saw angels, they initially reacted with fright. For example, the angel who appeared to the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 had to reassure the prophet by telling him not to become apprehensive. In the New Testament, when the priest Zacharias beheld Gabriel standing in the temple, the first words Gabriel uttered to him were, quote, fear not. No, angels are not figments of a person's imagination. Neither are they spectral apparitions, such as people perceive ghosts to be. Angels are servants of God. They draw their authority from him. God uses angels as his ministering spirits, sent to help people in time of need. As we'll see throughout the Bible, angels performed a number of different functions. Different functions that related to their primary purpose, ministering on behalf of God. This is Mark Osterman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.